Are you looking for a new basketball shoe? If so, this is Gary Parrish here to tell you that the New Balance 2-Way V4 features the groundbreaking use of fuel cell technology with fresh foam, creating the ultimate combination of rebound and cushioning. Every step feels explosive and dynamic, and the upper construction features a lightweight textile that's supportive and breathable. So whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the 2-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the 2-Way at newbalance.com. Hey there, it's Gary Parrish. Welcome back. CBS Sports Eye on College Basketball Podcast, where we sometimes discuss camel fighting, dodo birds, and leaky black. Matt Norlander is here with me. If you're watching live on YouTube, please smash that like button. As if you were Brandon Davies, you have consent. You always have consent with the like button. Dead leg. Big news of the past 24 hours is that Louisville has hired Milt Wagner in a director of player development and alumni role. They're bringing a former Cardinal back to campus. Worth noting, Milt Wagner is the grandfather of DJ Wagner, the number one recruit in the class of 2023. So now Louisville is considered by most to be the favorite to land DJ Wagner. Dead leg, your thoughts?
Makes the interesting race for DJ Wagner all the more interesting here. As you wrote, I mean, this is Kenny Payne beating Cal at his own game. Not that Cal, would Cal have been able to do this anyway? Milt Wagner, Louisville man, he couldn't have hired, I mean, he theoretically could have, but unlikely he could have convinced Milt Wagner to a similar type of role at Kentucky, right? Louisville and Kenny Payne had an inherent advantage in this regard. Cal couldn't pull the
Maybe, but let me add, Milt Wagner once was hired by Cal at Memphis, and in the time Milt Wagner was playing college basketball in the 80s, Memphis was one of, if not the biggest, Louisville rival.
Okay, there we go.
I was on the Metro Conference.
So what are we doing, John Calipari? Sleep at the wheel? What happened here? What's going on? It's super fascinating, man. Listen, DJ Wagner, when he gets to college, is going to probably be one of the 5 to 10 best players in the sport once he gets there, no matter who he's suiting up for. And this is, you know, in advance of what will be an interesting live period in July recruiting. You know, you have all the grassroots circuits, Under Armour, Adidas, and of course Nike, which is highlighted by the Peach Jam, which will be in mid to late July. You know, Milt Wagner's not going to be on the road recruiting, although he will be on the road to watch his grandson. So in effect, Kenny Payne will also have the advantage of having a fourth person on staff in the gyms when DJ Wagner's playing, because by nature of him being, you know, hello, his grandfather, he'll be able to go and watch. And that's certainly an interesting advantage. It comes at a time when Duke is obviously killing it on the recruiting trail. Kentucky is coming off of a pair of seasons here where the fan base is just, you know, GP, we talked about this once they got knocked out of the tournament in March. There is some consternation and, you know, John Calipari's tenure isn't going to hinge on whether or not they land DJ Wagner, but man, oh man, it'd be a lot better if he did than if he didn't, right? And for a while, it's felt as though Kentucky has been the favorite. I'll note, when I spoke with Sarita Wagner, DJ's mom, and I talked with Dewan as well last summer, and I even caught up with Sarita late fall, early winter. They had always maintained that you know, the recruiting process was not as, they're very, very, very savvy people. And obviously Dewan, having gone through this process, really understands it. They'd maintain to me that it was not as, it really was not as what it was being perceived in terms of there's really 3 or 4 schools that are actually involved. And I'm gonna take his mom at his word. Now, maybe that's changed in the 5-6 months since I talked to him since. But yeah, Parrish, this sets up for what'll be an interesting summer. And I don't know what the timeline is for DJ to commit, but you would have to think by doing this, Louisville certainly should be considered side by side alongside Kentucky to be most likely to land DJ Wagner at some point here.
For what it's worth, I talked to Travis Branham at 24/7 Sports yesterday, and he considers Louisville to be the leader. He thinks DJ Wagner is going to, like his grandfather, be a Cardinal. And he actually had switched his, or made a crystal ball prediction back in mid-April for DJ Wagner to go to Louisville, because as he told me, he was hearing then that something like this was going to happen. And so now here we are. For people who might be unfamiliar with the history of these relationships, with this story and how far it dates back, let me walk you through it real quick, because I lived through all of this stuff and was pretty up close to it. So back in September 1999, John Calipari was officially announced as a member of Larry Brown's staff with the Philadelphia 76ers. This is after John had been fired 23 games into his third season with what was then the New Jersey Nets. So he's tight with Larry Brown. They go way back. He considers him a mentor, and Larry puts him on staff with the Sixers. Again, this is September 1999. At this point, John knew that this was a one-year job because he had already made plans to return to college basketball. You know, after the 1999-2000 college basketball season. And he was basically going to take whatever the best job available that he could get was. He was coming back to college basketball. And just before the start of that season, the Memphis coach, Tick Price, was forced to resign because he was having an inappropriate relationship with a student. And Johnny Jones, who went on to be the head coach at North Texas and LSU, was named the interim head coach. And it started to be talked about very early in that season, like December, certainly by January, that Memphis was targeting John Calipari, and he was, you know, very interested in being the Memphis coach, in part because Larry Brown was once very close to becoming the Memphis coach and ultimately turned down the job. But as John tells the story, when he was asking Larry about Memphis, Larry said, "You should take that job." So, Memphis coach. And in that season, while working with the Sixers, he started spending a lot of time just across the Delaware River, because Pennsylvania and New Jersey, because I'm an expert in geography, this expert.
Capital city of New Jersey?
Caracas. Piscataway.
Oh my gosh.
Newark.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've been in Newark. I've spent time in Newark.
Third time's a charm.
I thought it was Caracas. So Pennsylvania, New Jersey, separated by, oh, trivia time. Separated by what?
A border?
Yeah, I guess technically, but also a body of water. What is the body of water?
I know the city on the body of the water. What's the city in Pennsylvania?
Well, Philadelphia.
Well, Camden.
Camden is in New Jersey, you idiot.
What's the body of water?
The Delaware River.
All right. There we go.
That was a low point for you.
It's my fucking birthday. I mean, I'll just, you know, I'm all over the place right now. All right. Here we go.
Sounds like somebody stayed up a little too late. On birthday Eve.
Not even a little.
Happy birthday.
Thanks, man.
How old are you today? 28?
Number 41, my man.
41. I want everybody watching on YouTube to look at us right now, both of us, and realize I'm only 4 years older than that guy. Looks like somebody takes care of themselves a little better than the other. But at least I know Camden is in New Jersey. That was outrageous.
I knew it. I blanked on it. Continue with your Cal story.
So Cal's working in Philadelphia. 15 minutes across the river is Camden, New Jersey, where a young man named DeJuan Wagner is establishing himself as the most dynamic guard in the country. So Cal's establishing that relationship. He gets hired at Memphis in March 2000. And within a couple of months of getting that job, more or less, he hires Milt Wagner in an administrative role. Also offers a scholarship and ultimately enrolls Arthur Barclay, who is DeJuan Wagner's best friend from Camden High in Camden, New Jersey. So John has set this thing up. and it became obvious very quickly DeJuan Wagner was going to be a Memphis Tiger. And so in June of 2000, DeJuan Wagner commits to Memphis, subsequently enrolls at Memphis, and is really good as a freshman, but somehow, some way, go look at the roster, you'll never figure it out. That team missed the NCAA tournament. Won the NIT. Your 2000, your 2000, 2001, or 2001, 2002, rather, NIT champions. Those are your Memphis Tigers, led by DeJuan Wagner. So John's had relationships with this family and the people around this family for literally more than two decades. Among the other people he's tight with that are in this circle, William Wesley, Nick's executive, who at that time, you know, I would sit with Wes every day in the Finch Center on campus at Memphis in practices as I was the beat writer for the Commercial Appeal newspaper. And he was just Uncle Wes. Nobody called him Worldwide Wes. That was not a thing then. He was just Uncle Wes. That was Wani's Uncle Wes. And so John's got that relationship with Wes, relationship with Milt, relationship with Wani, and he's known DJ since he was a baby. So for a while now, I don't know that anybody's called it a lock, but it's been just sort of understood in basketball circles that DJ Wagner was almost certainly going to end up playing for John Calipari at Kentucky, playing for John Calipari just like his father played for John Calipari. And it's always interesting to me how these things work, because nobody thought Chris Mack was not going to be the head coach at Louisville heading into the 2022-23 season in the summer of DJ Wagner's last summer before his senior year of high school. So you're not even really thinking Louisville is a option here. I mean, I guess it's technically an option, but not a problem for Kentucky as it pertains to DJ Wagner. But Chris Mack resigned midseason. Louisville had a coaching search. And they did what Georgetown has done, what Michigan has done, what Memphis has done. And that's hire a famous alum to run its program. And that is Kenny Payne. Kenny Payne was a member of the 1986 Louisville basketball team that won the national championship. And on that team with Kenny Payne was Milt Wagner. Kenny Payne and Milt Wagner are tight college teammates. When Milt talked about Kenny yesterday, he said, I'm so thrilled to be working side by side with my brother. When Kenny Payne talked about Milt, he said, I just love the fact that my brother's on staff. They call each other brother. However long John Calipari's had relationships with his family, Kenny Payne's had them longer. And now Kenny Payne has set himself up to land the number one recruit in the country in DJ Wagner. In part because he's very good at his job. Like, I think Louisville would have probably been in there no matter what. But when you hire DJ Wagner's grandfather and you bring him to staff, this is the type of thing that worked for John Calipari two decades ago. And it appears like it's the type of thing that is going to lead to Louisville beating Kentucky, to Kenny Payne beating John Calipari for the number one recruit in the country. Again, I want to make this clear. That's not just my opinion. That is what most recruiting analysts seem to think right now.
Last time Louisville beat Kentucky for a top 5 to 10 recruit, like a clear race. I don't know. Went for a run this morning, trying to stay young. You want to know why? You want to know why you look like that and I look like this? Cardio, my man. Cardio. And as I was on that run, I was like, when's the last time Louisville won? It might have happened recently, but of this level, this is great for college basketball, man. This is how you keep the rivalry stoked, keep it going. You know, I would never count out Kentucky personally. I wouldn't, but this is as much of a perceived advantage in a recruiting race like this as you could possibly get. And for Louisville fans, man, what a big one. I mean, even just winding up in this situation to begin with. You mentioned the Mac stuff. He resigns midseason. And to be a Louisville Cardinals fan here at the end of May, when, yeah, Kenny Payne hasn't coached a game yet. You haven't even gotten through one full off season yet. But so much, man, we'll talk about not maybe a full 180, but a good like 150. Like the optimism for this program heading into next season, and then particularly the one after that, which would be when Wagner would be in uniform for Louisville, if indeed he does commit, is big time. I think that's really, really good. Carolina effectively ended the Duke Carolina rivalry. I say it in jest. But between that and now Kentucky Louisville getting, you know, its next phase, its next stage, it's going to be interesting. Do you happen to know? I don't know, man. I'm trying to think. And someone listens.
I know everything. Delaware River.
Isn't it the Delaware Water Gap, technically?
I don't know. It looks like a river if you're looking at it. I looked at it yesterday.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
It looks like a river. It looks like a river. I'm gonna call it a river.
All right. Fair enough. This is big time stuff. Big time. And great on Payne for getting this done and adding Wagner to the staff. I thought there was still like a bit of clarification that was needed in regard to Milt Wagner actually being on staff and being a paid member of the university and how that ties to.
I believe they were smart about this. It's not an official basketball staff position.
Okay.
It's more of a university position. So the rule is, and this was changed at some point, because when John Calipari, let's just connect all these dots. When John Calipari hired Milt Wagner, it was like an administrative role on the basketball staff. And then DeJuan Wagner enrolls at Memphis. And that's the way these things had typically worked over the years. Like John Calipari also at Memphis hired somebody tight with Tyreke Evans just in a whatever role. And then Tyreke Evans enrolls at Memphis. And so the NCAA came in and said, all right, enough is enough. Back when the NCAA, you know, had rules and tried to enforce them. Remember that? And so the NCAA said, we're not going to do this anymore. If you're going to hire somebody, they have to be one of your three on the road assistants. And then you can still recruit people they have relationships with, but you can't just invent a spot for somebody who's the parent or brother or cousin or friend of a prospective student athlete, hire them and then get the student athlete. That's extra benefits. We're not doing that anymore. So Louisville would not have been able to hire Milt in the same role that Memphis once hired Milt. That would be against current NCAA rules, if there are still NCAA rules. So what Louisville has done is, you know, they found a loophole like everybody else does, and they have hired Milt in the type of position that will allow them to still, you know, within the rule book, pursue Milt's grandson, DJ Wagner. So my understanding is that's all good to go because Louisville was smart about this, which, by the way, is, if you're a Louisville fan, should be a very good sign. I'm always impressed by coaches who know how to work around this stuff. And though Kenny Payne is a first year coach, he's worked in college basketball for a long time, worked for John Calipari at Kentucky. So this is an indication that he knows what he's doing.
As we speak right now, and maybe this, I went to his 247 page for DJ Wagner. There are four Louisvilles and two Kentuckys, although one of the Kentuckys is Brian Snow, who no longer works as an analyst. You know, to Snow's credit, he's not exactly required to do this anymore because he is the director of recruiting now at Penn State. So, but Adam Finkelstein, Travis Branham have Louisville. Chris Fisher, who works with Cat's Paws in the 247 network, which is a Kentucky site, still has Kentucky as his prediction, but he also has an
What if you clicked on that page and it was, okay, the four Louisvilles, one Kentucky, and a Penn State. I wonder who's got DJ Wagner going to Penn State. Oh, it's Brian Snow.
I didn't anticipate to see Snow's name when I brought this thing up, but sure enough, there he is. By the way, Brian Snow's 2023 accuracy, 0%.
He's lost his fastball. 0%. Come on, Snow. Get something right. Get something right, Snow.
Gosh, Snow. Get it together, man. But, you know, yes, I can't wait to see Wagner again on the trail this summer. And then, I know he's considered the best prospect in the class right now. I think that's fair. I think there's also maybe an emerging debate over whether that will change later this summer. Regardless, really, really heady, confident combo guard who I just think he's going to step into college and be a star. He looks awesome, and Louisville could have a butt. we'll have to wait and see what happens later this summer. Well, if this gets more intriguing and what Kentucky can do to kind of try and get him there. Memphis is technically also listed among like the three most likely. And you never know, I guess, but we wait to see with Memphis and everything that's going to come down the pike with Penny and that program from an NCAA standpoint.
That'd be an all-timer for Penny Hardaway.
Oh my gosh. Like, are you
Kentucky, John Coach DeWan, Kenny hires Milt, and Penny's like, I'll still get this done one way or another.
That would be awesome. That would be incredible.
Listen, there's I guess a whole summer of grassroots basketball where these players will be evaluated and ranked and re-ranked and shuffled around. I think at the end of the day, DJ Wagner will be the number one prospect in the class of 2023. You remember, I found myself in a bit of controversy last summer when we were at Peach Jam, and after like two games, I was like, are we really sure Jalen Duren is the number one player in the class? Because what that usually means is a guy who looks like a possible number one pick in the draft. And I can't imagine, not because he's not awesome, but because he doesn't look like a modern NBA prospect, in terms, he looks more like a traditional big instead of a modern big. And I can't imagine that guy would be considered for the number one pick in the draft. And people are like, you don't know what you're talking about. Have you looked at a mock draft lately? Duren is, I said he's going to go close. My prediction last summer, he'll go closer to 10 than 1. Seen a mock draft lately? Might not even go in the top 10. Might go in the top 10. Might not, though. When I saw Jalen Duren, I wasn't convinced this is the number one player in the class or that it should be the number one player in the class. When I saw DJ Wagner, I was convinced. I was like, he looks the part. Awesome in transition. Like every time I saw him get the ball in transition, he scored. Every time. I know that's not true. It just felt that way. Like nobody could stop him from getting to the rim, making jumpers reliably. I don't know that he's a better prospect than his father was, but he might be. And his father was awesome. Went on to be the sixth pick in the 2002 NBA draft. So I'm a believer in DJ Wagner. And if you told me I had to hire somebody to get him, I would hire somebody to get him. He's terrific. And I'm with you. I think we'll be one of the 5-10 best players in college basketball the moment he starts playing college basketball. Can we get one thing straight, though? Because I tweeted about this yesterday, that I decided to write the column because it's just sort of like there's a lot of juicy stuff there. And because I lived it, I sort of know the background of this. And so I was like, I'll write a column about this. I wrote the column. You can read it at CBSSports.com. And it's amazing how many people wanted to remind me. Well, John Calipari hired Milt Wagner back. Like, do you really think there's any scenario where I don't know that John Calipari hired Milt Wagner once upon a time? Like, what are we doing? Beyond that,
I forgot about the Delaware water gap. So,
like, people are like, "Hey, GP, you realize John Calipari hired Milt Wagner at Memphis? What? I had no idea. Like, what is it? How do you get to a point where you're on Twitter following me, which means you have to be somewhat aware of who I am and what I do, and you're compelled to spend part of, like, even a minute trying to tell me something that you have to know I know? What? Twitter's wild.
Did you know Penny played at Memphis? I don't think you knew that.
What?
Yeah, I don't think you knew that.
What?
You so claim to have grown up on the Metro Conference.
I was raised on it.
Okay. Anyway, what point are you getting at here?
I'm trying to tell a story about Bimbo Coles.
Oh, okay.
That's not true. So you had that from some fans, and then I got some other Louisville fans who read the tweet, and they're like, why are you trying to make this out like they hired Milt Wagner to get a recruit? They hired Milt Wagner because he's a former Louisville great. And this is the type of position that goes to for players all the time. Why don't you tell that story? All right, let's stop for a second. I'm happy for Louisville because I think Louisville being great at basketball is great. In all sincerity, I was raised on the Metro Conference, and Louisville was a massive part of my childhood. Louisville basketball was a big part of my childhood. Purvis Ellison, LaFonso,
Lonzo Ellis?
I was about to say LaFonso Ellis.
That was Notre Dame.
I just meant, oh my God, what is that player's name? Somebody put it in the comments.
No, I thought you were raised. You were raised on this conference, on this team.
Purvis Ellison. Who was my other guy that I'm trying to think of? Francisco Garcia.
Fraudulent.
I was raised on the
Renton is the capital of New Jersey, not Newark. Fact check correction.
I think it's Caracas.
Edgar Sosa.
Give me some old school Louisville basketball. Oh, LeBradford Smith. That's what I was trying to get to.
The guy who trash talked Jordan. Okay. That's, yeah. All right.
LeBradford Smith. But shout out to Alfonso Ellis, too. Nice guy.
Why not?
Let's get something straight. I'm happy for Louisville. Just like I keep saying, John Calipari's known Milt Wagner for two decades. I've known Milt Wagner for two decades. I love Milt Wagner. Happy for the family. But Milt Wagner left Louisville 36 years ago. He coached at Memphis 22 years ago. Louisville could have hired him at any point.
True.
The point where Louisville hired him was in the summer before his grandson, who's the number one prospect in the country, became a senior in high school. So, like, nobody's mad.
Nobody this isn't even a thing anymore.
It's like, not even a thing.
It's not, it's not even a thing. If you don't do this, you're negligent. Kenny Payne should have been fired if he didn't do this. Let's be honest.
Yes.
Okay. He should have been fired.
Now, it is funny because when John hired Milt at Memphis in, you know, whatever, 2000, that was like controversial. Like, it used to be like, I can't believe what these coaches are doing.
Right.
Yesterday, you could Google this. It was a New York Post column. And it was like, John Calipari's up to his old tricks again. John Calipari just got back to college. And here he goes again. He got UMass in trouble. And now he's already hiring the father of the number one recruit in the country. So, like, this was a thing then. It's not a thing anymore. Nobody cares. Nobody thinks it's cheating. Nobody thinks it's wrong. Nobody's out there going, I can't believe what Louisville did. So just enjoy it. Celebrate it. Be thrilled. But don't try to tell me all Louisville did here is hire a former player, because that's silly. We don't have to lie to each other. Kenny Payne is tight with Milt, but I'm sure Kenny Payne's tight with a lot of guys he played basketball with at Louisville. The guy he tried to hire, the guy he did hire, is a guy whose grandson is the number one recruit in the country and about to be a senior in high school. It is what it is. We don't have to lie to each other. Nobody's mad at you. Be happy. I'm happy for you, but don't try to make me think this isn't what it is, because you can't trick me. I know where Caracas, New Jersey is.
Can we turn on the internet in Indiana for a second, please?
You want to turn on the internet in Indiana?
Turn it on.
You know what? We'll do that next. But first, a word from our sponsors.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
If you want to win your fantasy football league, it starts right now. The offseason is the best time to get ahead of the competition. We'll help you win your league on the Fantasy Football Today podcast, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network. Fantasy Football Today has three episodes every week following the latest news, giving you early rankings, early sleepers, breakouts, and busts. So if you're a dedicated fantasy football manager, check out the most dedicated podcast, Fantasy Football Today. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found.
Shouts to Herky's Wings.
Sure. What I want to know is, that was a Sonic the Hedgehog 2 promo on YouTube here. If you listen on the podcast, are you hearing the Sonic promo? Do you hear
I think they hear something else, I think.
Okay. Well,
I think we've been
over. If you want to watch Sonic the Hedgehog 2 promo, go to the YouTube channel, smash the like button. You can watch it. It's not too promo, and then you're off and running.
Herky's Wings said tickle the like button.
Okay.
I think that works too. It accomplishes something. It accomplishes something. I've seen the first Sonic the Hedgehog.
I have not.
Kids liked it. I just sort of like, you know, it's just sort of in the background. Like any good parent, I just sort of sat there and scrolled through my Instagram.
Yeah.
But looking forward to it. I'm sure my kids will want to go to the theaters and see it or watch it on Paramount Plus or, watch it on Paramount Plus. That feels like what I'm supposed to say.
That's correct.
I bet my kids can't wait to watch it on Paramount Plus.
There you go.
Indiana got their internet turned back on. Because Trace Jackson Davis is one of a handful of interesting college basketball players who have announced they are withdrawing from the NBA draft. So Indiana should be good next season, right? And Trace should be preseason All-American?
Got to be. He'll be on my preseason. I was in on Trace going into last season as borderline top five player in the country. I'll be there again. Here are the numbers. 18.3 points, 8.1 rebounds, 1.9 assists, shot 59% from the field, and played 35 games, 32 and change minutes per game overall. Indiana had an up and down season, 21-14, but they made the tournament. They did beat Wyoming before losing to St. Mary's. Obviously, they got there via the first four. But Trace was
what was the final score in that St. Mary's game?
Oh boy,
it knocked the internet out, Jack.
82-53.
Oh my God.
How is it like? Games were happening? I have very little memory of. Now, I know I watched it because I was in Greenville and my games were Friday, Sunday. So I watched everything Thursday, Saturday. So I watched this, but what else was happening when this game was going down? Because I barely remember Indiana getting absolutely demolished. I didn't remember it being that bad. I didn't. So I know Indiana fans and St. Mary's fans can remember it all too well, but I didn't realize it was that.
Woo! Oh, yeah. That messed everybody's modem up. It made major modem damage.
Trace in that game at 12 points, 5 boards, no fouls, but good God, 82-53. But he's coming back. That's big time news. Indiana could well set up. It could. I'm not there yet, but I saw a little of this going around. Set up as the preseason favorite in the Big Ten because Trace is coming back in addition to some others. But he's the big piece. He's got to be, in my opinion, preseason first team All-American. I think Trace has got potential. If you want good value on a preseason National Player of the Year, there'll be other guys that'll be ranked ahead of him. Shibuya at the top of that list. I actually think Trace is capable of winning National Player of the Year.
I'm going to go with somebody from St. Mary's. I don't know who, but I'm going with somebody from St. Mary's. Okay.
Fair enough, Parrish. But big time news there. Where do you have Indiana in your rankings? Did you move them because of this, or did you always have them ranked with the idea that Trace was coming back?
Always had him ranked with the idea that Trace was coming back. So I've got him 18th right now, but that stacks up as second in the Big Ten behind Michigan. I mean, I've got the top two in the Big Ten. Let's just see. No Big Ten teams in the top 10 of the top 25 and one, but I've got Michigan at 12, Indiana at 18, Purdue at 22, Ohio State at 24, Michigan State at 25.
Okay. Aside from for the listeners, Ryan, the listeners, Trace is coming back at Indiana. He'll be by far the most important player. Who else do we have there? Race Thompson. Rob Finnessy's gone. Miller Kopp. Parker Stewart transferred back to Tennessee Martin, which is actually a real quick on that. Pretty powerful story. Parker Stewart tragically lost his father, who was the coach of Tennessee Martin. Almost 2 years ago, he played at Indiana last year, and then he's going to go back. He played in Indiana, and he's going to actually finish out his college career at Tennessee Martin, where he began and where he lost his dad. So that was, one of those stories where I saw, I thought, man, what a journey he's kind of taken there. Overall, though,
I mean, the one that they're bringing in that I think is just terrific is Jalen Hood-Schifino, who played for Team Thad. On the grassroots circuit last summer. You might remember he like popped positive COVID and had to miss part of Peach Jam. But I saw him in advance of that, and he's awesome. Like when I first saw him I think he was listed as a 4-star by most. And I was like, this seems better than that. And he subsequently moved up in various rankings. I believe he's, if not a consensus 5-star, certainly a 5-star in some places right now. I think he's great. Like, yeah, I think he'll be fabulous at Indiana. So I really like the roster that Mike Woodson has put together. I think, yeah, if Indiana wins a Big Ten title, it won't be that surprising to me.
Last time, let me see here. Last time Indiana won a Big Ten title.
What are you talking? Tom Crean.
16. Tom Crean. I know. So they won this. They won the regular season in 16. They won it in 13 as well. And Indiana has never won a Big Ten tournament title in its history. Never won it. But yeah, because I remember their Big Ten tournament record is like absurdly bad. I can't remember what it is now, but when they lost in the Big Ten tournament, someone had mentioned it or brought it to light, and it was unbelievable how like they hadn't made, what was it? IU fans with the internet, you're going to find me afterward. It's something like Indiana has not played in a Big Ten semi in like 15 years or something like that.
No, I remember this being a thing. Either you said it or somebody else said it, and I was like, it was one of those things that I, when I heard it, I was like, well, there's no way that can be true. And it was like, oh, it actually is true. It's bananas. Like, I think it was something like this. Hasn't won two Big Ten tournament games in the same tournament in like ever or a million years or 20 or something.
You're right. It was something like that. I want to see if I can get it real quick before we, because that's just, that just can't be. It cannot be.
It sounded impossible. Whatever it was, and I think it was something like, hadn't won multiple Big Ten tournament games in the same year in a significant amount of time. And I was like, there's just no way that's true.
I got it. Indiana hasn't won at least two games in the Big Ten tournament since 2003.
That sounds impossible.
2003, they have not won two games in a Big Ten. I want to be clear. They've won more than two games in the Big Ten tournament, but in a single Big Ten tournament, they have not won more than two games since 2003.
We got to get them to the Summit League tournament somehow. This is not working out. Can we acknowledge this is not working out?
They won two this year. So they tied the mark. So they haven't won more than two since 2003. They tied it when they got two this year, but that is just, it's unreal, man.
Maybe we could work out a deal where they play in the Big Ten regular season, but then they play the Summit League tournament. We got to get some tournament victories. This is getting outrageous. This is Indiana basketball, for crying out loud.
So I use, Race Thompson, Miller Kopp, Xavier, Johnson will be back. Jordan Geronimo will be back. You mentioned Hood Schifino will be in there. And then Malik Reno is coming in addition to Trace Jackson Davis. So I don't know if that's the best team in the Big Ten. To me, that is a top three team for sure. And we started the pod talking Louisville, talk Indiana. These are a couple of fan bases, a couple of blue blood programs as far as I'm concerned, and they have been toiling a bit, and they will enter into next season, Indiana immediately, Louisville, depending on what they do recruiting-wise, with just some real, real optimism there. The Hoosiers are overdue for some sustained success and relevance. Trace Jackson Davis is a big one, man. I'm all in on him. And he might, yeah, I might, when it gets time in October for us to make our preseason predictions, I just think that he clearly made a big jump last season. And I think he's making a great decision to return to college, because I think that he will improve his draft stock. He'll get drafted next year and potentially be the best player in America in 2022, 2023.
Yeah. And this is an example, and we can get out of here on this, of two things working that are helping Indiana and schools like Indiana. It's name, image, and likeness rights being a reality, and traditional bigs not really having a great value as it pertains to the NBA draft. You know, this is largely why Oscar Tshiebwe is back in school. It's why most people believe Drew Timmy will be back in school. Although Drew Timmy did shoot it at the combine, apparently. like went out in one of these games and went.
Come on back, though. I know.
Well, it's wild. He doesn't shoot from the perimeter at Gonzaga rarely. And he goes in one combine game, he was 4 or 5 from three. It sounds like he just said, you know what? I'm shooting. This is what they need to see. I'm going to show it to them.
He also got called for a travel and then I guess turned around and said they're not ready for the sauce. And he might be gone. Well, he might have gotten a first round promise on that alone. We might have seen it after Drew Timmy.
Well, that is the thing. As awesome as Drew is, there are a lot of people who think he moves his feet in ways that shouldn't be allowed. once he catches the basketball, there's a lot of people who think he moves his feet in ways that should not be allowed. So the NBA officials or whoever it is working the combine at least caught him one time doing that. But Armando Bacot back in school, all of these guys 30 years ago would be first round draft picks and gone, baby, gone. But because there's just not great value, like guys like that now have to, you know, Drew Timmy is never going to be in the NBA. I think Trayce Jackson-Davis might never be in the NBA based on, well, he was the 18th pick, guaranteed contract. Now he's on the roster. They're going to have, like, you look at Fred VanVleet coming out of college and it's like, he's a winner. He can shoot. He can run your team. Yeah, but he's little and he's not a great athlete. So he doesn't get picked. But then he's like, I'll get there. I'm going to be so awesome wherever I'm playing that I keep progressing. And then they go, okay, I had questions, but you know, the guy just keeps playing, keeps doing what he's doing. And so now here he is. Now what little guards used to have to do, if you had any sort of physical limitations, you were a little small, not quite athletic enough, or at least that was the perception, you'd have to prove after college that you could play in the NBA by going to the G League, going overseas, and just being an undeniable player. Whatever setting you're in, you keep playing. And now traditional bigs are going to have to do that. You're not going to get picked, with few exceptions, you're not going to get picked where you would have been picked 30 years ago because the game's changed so much. Whenever you decide to pursue a professional career, you're probably going to have to take a long road to get where you've always dreamt of going. Doesn't mean they can't get there, but probably going to have to take a longer road than you would have taken 30 years ago. Because 30 years ago, these guys we're talking about, they'd have been picked 4th, 8th, 17th, and 28th. Now it's more like 48, 51, maybe not at all. And when you combine that reality with, hey, you come back to school, make a lot of money, and be the best player on your team. That's the other thing I think gets lost sometimes. There's something awesome about being the best player on a team. Like, have you ever been the best player when you were growing up? Were you ever the best player on a team? Like, oh, I was sometimes the best player on a team that I was on. And that's a lot of fun. You know, it's fun being awesome. And so you want to go play in the G League and just be a guy, or go to the NBA and sit at the end of the bench. You want to come back to college, make a lot of money, and be the best player on your team. One of the best players in the country. Playing packed arenas on television, it's just a more attractive option for a lot of these guys. And that has been the story of this offseason when it comes to NBA draft decisions for the most part. We're getting some – I know the system is, to whatever extent it exists, has created some chaos and uncertainty and frustration. But one of the byproducts of it is that we're getting some awesome college basketball players back in school. And Trayce Jackson-Davis is maybe not at the top of that list, but he's close to it.
I've never been the best player on any team. The closest I ever came to this was I grew up, went to high school, middle school and high school in Vermont. And then I moved my senior year of high school, which is brutal. Don't recommend it to anyone.
Oh, but that is awful.
Yeah, it was no good. But what can you do? So, but in Vermont, it's not good enough to be on the ski team. And then I moved to Connecticut, and I was the second best skier in the entire school. I still wasn't the best. There was still someone who was better than me, but I was the second. Vermont down to Connecticut, did ski team, because I wasn't good enough to play varsity. I wasn't good enough to hoop it as a senior in Connecticut. I was like, ah, whatever, I'll do ski team. Second best, like right there, right away. That's the closest I've ever been. Never been best on a team, though.
Yeah. I don't think I was ever best on a baseball team. I was close, probably, but I don't think I was ever best. On soccer teams, I was the best when I was young. Like, I'm not lying. I was an unbelievable. I was the Pele of Horn Lake, Mississippi. That's what I was nicknamed. I was nicknamed the Pele of Horn Lake, Mississippi. It's a true story. That's a true story. I was the Pele of Horn Lake, Mississippi. Say so I played Pelé. So okay. I was
three different. I think go ahead. Everyone listening, go back. Listen to the past 20 seconds. I think he said it three different ways in about 12 seconds.
So. I wanted to emphasize it over and over again. Get a little better each time. I was the Pelé of Horn Lake, Mississippi. That's what I was nicknamed as I was growing up. And I played club soccer when I was young, like, you know, 10, 11, 12, 13, something like that. And then I wanted to play high school baseball, but my club soccer team, it was one of those, you got to play year round, no other sports. And we didn't have high school soccer at the time. And I was like, I was obsessed with getting a letter jacket. That's what felt important to me. And I was like, I'm going to play high school baseball because I want to play for my high school. And if you tell me I can't play club soccer and high school baseball, then I'm just going to not play club soccer. So I quit, but I still wanted to play soccer. And so I played in a lesser league for a lesser team. And I was reestablished myself as the Pelé of Horn Lake. It was outrageous how unbelievable I was relative to the competition. And then my junior year of high school, this is all true. Junior of high school, we got a soccer team. First soccer team in the history of Horn Lake High. And they actually
organized it just because you were going to play, right?
It was like we got the Pelé of Horn Lake enrolled. Remember how they built a basketball team around Amani Bates? It's basically the same thing. I was like I've never thought about this before, but I was like the Amani Bates of Horn Lake High School. And so we got in DeSoto County, Mississippi. We got we got high school soccer for the first time. My baseball coach, he said, you don't want to play that because you're going to, you know, what if you get hurt? You won't be able to play baseball in the spring. And I said, coach, I'll be fine. So I played high school soccer and I averaged like a hat trick a game. It was outrageous.
You did not.
I'm telling the truth.
There's no shots.
I averaged
three goals a game in high school.
I averaged about three goals a game. If it were actually a hat trick, it would not surprise me. I was superior. I was the Pelé of Horn Lake. It was like I was dropped in from the Premier League and I was suddenly playing in MLS. That's what it felt like. Not to take a shot at MLS. I don't even really know what I'm talking about when it comes to that stuff. So also true story, got thrown out of my final game. Red card. Got thrown out of my final game. My last soccer game I got.
You know what? You got too good. You got too arrogant. Classic downfall story.
No, it is.
I never even made the 30 for 30.
I got a yellow for I got a yellow that I should never have gotten. And then I got, I think I got taken down in the box and ref no called it. And I said something I probably shouldn't have said. In fact, I shouldn't have said, like, if my kids did the same thing, I would want to kill them. And, but at that point I was a bit of a rebel. I was not only the Pelé of Horn Lake, I was also a rebel. And I got thrown out of my last two athletic things, red card in a soccer match, high school career over, thrown out. 6-4-3 double play. I hit into baseball. That was the last thing I ever did. Hit into a 6-4-3 double play. Here, how about this for a story? So my baseball coach said, you can't play soccer, you'll get hurt. And I was unbelievable at soccer, as we've established. Baseball season, turn to double play. Shortstop got it to me late. Got taken out at second. I was a second baseman. Torn ACL. Done for the year. I've never been the same. Look at me. I haven't always looked like this. Once upon a time, I was the Pelé of Horn Lake and a totally average middle infielder. Now look at me. What were we talking about?
I don't know, but let's go ahead and wrap this puppy up.
How did we get on that? Just for curiosity's sake. No clue. Oh, being the best player on a team is fun.
There we go.
And that's what Trace Jackson Davis is going to get to do by returning to college. Congratulations, Indiana fans. I hope your internet never goes out again. Shouts to Devin Downey. Shouts to Chester, South Carolina. Shouts to Huck. Shouts to Larnell. Shouts to LeBradford Smith. Shouts to me, Pelé of Horn Lake. Thank you for listening once again to the Ion College Basketball Podcast. If you're not subscribed, please go subscribe anywhere you subscribe to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. 5 stars. Nice review at Apple Podcasts. We need that. There's more of us than there are of them. It needs to be reflected in the comments. If you're not subscribed to the YouTube page, please subscribe to the YouTube page. I'm tired of asking you. I want to see the number go up. And hit the like button every time you're watching, because that genuinely seems to help us, and we appreciate your help. I saw somebody in the comments ask, when is the Paulo Banchero breakdown, if you will, episode going to publish? We have already done that. We recorded that a couple days ago. I don't even know if I'm supposed to say that out loud, but you'll notice I'll be wearing the same clothes that I was wearing in the Jabari Smith episode and in the Chet Holmgren episode. That is recorded. We were going to publish it today, but then we knew we were going to talk about Milt Wagner and DJ Wagner and Kentucky and Louisville, and why wait till Thursday to do that? Let's just knock that out today. So Paulo Banchero episode, that'll drop tomorrow, I believe at 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern, and then we'll be back to talk to you again on Monday after that. So till then, on behalf of Norlander and the greatest soccer prospect in the history of DeSoto County, Mississippi, take care.
Should you ever set foot outside of the hotel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount+. Only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.